And we're back here, and we're back here with two guests in the studio from Holland Hospital, Mark Bombera, who is a behavioral health psychologist, and Matt Forbes, who is in marketing and communications. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
All right. We're going to talk about gambling and the problem some people have with gambling. Well, let's ask you, Mark, what is problem gambling?
Well, problem gambling is any betting or wagering for self or others, whether for money or not, no matter how slight or insignificant, where the outcome is uncertain or depends upon chance or skill. That constitutes a definition of gambling.
Yeah.
Another shorter definition would be to risk money or something of value on the outcome of a game, contest, or an event.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing here is risk. And you're risking something that you have for something that's a chance that you might win more. And usually, when we're gambling in any kind of form, the odds are not in favor of us winning.
I figure the casinos were not put there to lose money.
No, they're a huge, huge money-making organization.
They are.
So how much of a problem is this?
It's a huge problem. We wanted to talk a little bit about senior gambling here today, but the statistics in the state of Michigan say that anywhere from 2 to 4% of the population of Michigan citizens are problem gamblers.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that they have crossed the line from normal to having problems with gambling.
Okay, excuse me, I got a call coming in here. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Good morning, Juke, and good morning, guests. Kind of like your topic about the gambling and, you know, the idea of it's a problem in many families and lifestyles. What do you think about what goes on this time of year with all this college bracket hoopla? Mm-hmm. It takes over the workplace. It takes over media and just about everywhere you look, companies are getting into it, wanting people to go online and fill out their brackets, make these picks. Everywhere you look, all these companies and agencies, I mean, workplaces are holding pools and everything.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
I'm glad he brought that up because we can see right around the last week or two and the next couple weeks, all the focus and attention on sports, which is good, but the way people can get so caught up into it, and so this is a good view of what gambling can do. Now there's some people who can do it, and it's just a fun little recreational thing.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people. If you look around in your offices and the places where you frequent. It's more than just a recreational thing, and there is a lot of money being betted, both legally and illegally, on March Madness basketball.
Oh yeah.
And so it's interesting that this caller brought that out because we can see how much gambling is a problem just by looking at this. And sports is a huge place for gambling.
Right.
And people lose a lot of money at it.
Yeah.
So it's in terms of seniors. Seniors are the fastest age group, growing age group in America, and just because of that, the problem with seniors has skyrocketed. And it's the largest annual group that frequents Las Vegas casinos is seniors.
Mm-hmm.
So. Age 65 and older is the fastest growing group of gamblers in the country.
Yeah. Matt, have you ever gambled?
Well, you know, it's not a passion of mine, and frankly, I've never felt the call to do it on a regular basis. But it is interesting, you know, this conversation about brackets and so forth. We sort of have a double standard in a way. We sort of see social gambling as as entertainment and fun. But we also know when it crosses the line, the human costs are staggering, both personally and professionally, for people that get hooked. It's a lot like any other addiction. I think Mark's going to talk about this. It's recently been reclassified from a impulse control disorder to really a behavioral addiction, which means just like substance abuse, if you're what we call a problem gambler or an addicted gambler, you're at the mercy of that behavior, and it's really a sad thing. It can be avoided, and Mark's going to talk more about that.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about it is, you know, you can look at the numbers coming up, you know, and you think, well, if I just put in another dollar, maybe it'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And I think it starts with experimentation, and people get a win, and then suddenly you think that could happen. You know, it's almost like, you know, with pushers, they say, you know, the first hit is free because they know that you'll be back. And I think that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
Gamblers get caught up into what I call distorted thinking. And you brought up, Juke, that, you know, if I just picked one more number, I just got another ticket, you know, and there's always this distorted way of thinking that if I just play a little more, I'll win. And the thing is that when you win, it excites your brain and the pathways in your brain that have to do with pleasure. And the more you win, the more you lock into your brain that you want to continue to do this. Mm-hmm. And that starts that addiction cycle. But also when you lose, there's what we call a winning phase and then we call a losing phase. Then you're trying to chase your losses. And you think, if I just do one more, or if I just do it a different way, or if I just play on this machine, or I'll go to that machine because that guy, he just won money over there. And you keep thinking of other ways that you can continue to gamble even though you're losing a lot of money. And so your thinking gets real distorted, and it's not based in reality anymore.
Right. Well, I have gambled, and I... Mm-hmm. Last time I went to see my son down Kingman area, he lives just not far from Lachlan, where they have casinos.
Sure.
And he says, well, his wife likes to go over there, and she never bets more than a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll risk $20.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it took me about 3 minutes. And I said to myself, this is no place for a kid from Grasscup.
There you go.
And you know, you're fortunate that you lost that much money in a short amount of time.
Yes.
Because
that was good.
That helped you to say it's no...
I wasn't tempted to go on at all.
Actually, too, Juke employed one of the strategies I know you're going to talk about later of how to control your gambling, and that is to set a limit and stop after that's gone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Some other ways that seniors are vulnerable is that they're a major target market for casinos and other gambling venues because of the growing age population, and because retirees tend to be bored, tend to be lonely, don't have a lot of safe places to go. A casino is a really nice, safe place to visit, and the access is so easy.
And it's 24/7.
It's 24/7, and you know, buses travel to senior centers.
That's right.
I have a call here. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Yeah, I always find it ironic. Every summer we drive up 31 and the Sleepy Bear Dunes, spend a couple days there, Traverse City area, beautiful area, and you drive by the Little River Casino right out 31 north of Manistee, and you see these, they've got a whole campground. Mm-hmm. People that can, you know, you can camp there. Well, usually you associate camping with outdoor activities, healthy activities, but here these people are up there and in our beautiful state of Michigan, and then they go inside and it's smoky because all these casinos are smoke free, but they're exempt from the ban. And it just seems crazy. We have such a beautiful state, and here they are on a beautiful July day, absolutely gorgeous day, and sitting in a casino, you know. What in the world, you know, what people see in that is just beyond me. And especially if they have a camper. What are you, why don't you use your camper and go to a state park?
Yeah, right.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. I like what he brought up about not spending time outdoors. It robs people who have a problem with their gambling. It robs them from doing other productive things
right.
that are more healthy, and it really contributes to poor health. When you're gambling, it, like I said earlier, it sets off these biochemical reactions in you, and it sets off the stress response that's in your body. It releases a neurochemical called cortisol that stresses your body and weakens your immune system. Increases your heart rate, and it does a lot of things that if people don't have health problems, it can contribute to. Smoke-filled environment, because you know there's a lot of smoke floating around in those casinos.
Oh, yes.
A lot of alcohol consumption. And if anybody goes into a casino and gets lost in time, they're not going to neglect taking their medications, doing a lot of other things that they would be doing to maintain their health. But that seems to go away when they get locked into gambling, because that's the only thing you start thinking about when you get in a casino and you have a problem with it.
Now, there's help for problem
yes.
gamblers, right?
Yes. The Michigan Department of Community Health sponsors a problem gambling helpline that people can call 24/7 and get a trained counselor on the other end that can help them through a crisis and refer them and give them free confidential help and refer them to treatment providers in their local community mm-hmm. that have a special training in this. I'm one of those, and there are about 50 of us in the state of Michigan that have gone through specific training with the state of Michigan to be paneled as a gambling treatment provider. The other thing they do is they give information on local support groups like Gamblers Anonymous. That's there. It's similar to Alcoholics Anonymous, but it's for problem gamblers. And we do have some Gambler Anonymous groups that meet locally here. There's one in Hudsonville at Evergreen Ministries. I think it's 10 o'clock on Tuesday mornings, and there's groups that meet weekly at St. Patrick's Church in Grand Haven off of 31 on Thursday evenings at 7, and there's a couple groups that meet in Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
And people can go online to gamblersanonymous.com and research that, or they're easily accessible. The state provides a speakers bureau where people like myself can go in and talk to groups, community groups, churches, whatever, about this whole issue to give them more information for prevention purposes.
You know, and the great thing about this Michigan Problem Gambling Initiative is that it's funded in a case of poetic justice by the casinos themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there are dollars available to help support the care of people that have problems. And, you know, that's good to see that we're making amends for some of the tragedies that have occurred, and there is help.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a number people can call. It's 1-800-270-7117, and we'll leave that number with you, Duke, in case mm-hmm. people have questions later.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. And they can get referred to people like Mark right in the local area to get help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if people come to you and... What does it take, a number of visits to cure them of this mania?
Yeah, it takes a few visits, sometimes more than just a few. When I tend to see people, they're at their worst. They've hit the bottom.
Yeah.
And so they're losing their home. They're, you know, $10, $20, $30, $40, $100,000 in debt. They're working off of 25 credit cards that they're maxed out, they're under tremendous stress, it's ruining their family. It's finally come out, and then they come into me, and they tend to be more motivated. Although I would say that relapse happens, and people could struggle with this for quite a long time if they don't get the help they need and the support
yeah.
in the community.
Yeah.
But it's not something very easy to overcome. We kind of look at gambling as the hidden addiction, unlike alcohol and drugs, which are much more observable in people. Gambling is people can be very functional when they're having problems with gambling, and you can't tell that they have a gambling problem. They're not stumbling around inebriated. So it's a difficult thing to know, and it's very easy to hide, because it's so accessible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's all around us. We can now go on the computer and gamble and lose a lot of money. There's games like Keno that you can go to a local establishment and bet there while you're eating.
Right.
And it's just so normalized. It's normalized, glamorized, and popularized. In every facet of our life.
Have another call. Yeah. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Yes. Speaking of gambling, we have a sister-in-law that lives in Indiana, and she lives near one of these gambling places. And it is so sad. She was saying that these older people get there early in the morning. They wear diapers. So they don't have to leave their machines for the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so tragic how these elderly people just throw their lives away. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Juke, one statistic that's really interesting, and this lady calling and saying about her sister lives close to the casino there in Indiana, wherever a casino goes, problem gambling goes up 50% if you live within 60 miles of a casino. So now that we see all around West Michigan these casinos going up, the problem gambling is increasing by 50%.
Is that right?
Yeah, and maybe even more. But those are the statistics that have come out. So we know that the accessibility just makes it even more of a problem for every age group.
You know, it's really interesting, too, Mark, thinking back to what you said earlier about the physical effects of gambling and that it can actually have physical addictive effects on your brain. It really takes it out of the realm of being a moral issue and really puts it in the ballpark of where it belongs, which is a physical and behavioral addiction, which is, you know, something that can be treated and should be treated. It's not a failure of the person. It's a mental process that can be assisted.
Yeah, well, like I tell people, let's say with alcohol, that, it's a decision when you take your first drink or first couple drinks. But once you start drinking, you cannot have any control over the effects that alcohol is going to have on you. And that's the way it is with gambling. And it's more, it's trickier because people don't realize that. They realize that they're getting the effect from drinking alcohol or taking a drug.
Right.
But you don't realize all of these biochemical effects that are happening inside your brain when you start gambling.
Have another call. Yes, you're online with our guests.
Good morning again, Duke. There was somebody, I don't know who it was, who said some time ago that by continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is a definition of insanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Don't forget, in the way of addiction, abuse.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
You're welcome, bye.
And I have another call coming in. Good morning, you're online with our guests. Good morning, you're online with our guests.
Good morning again, folks, Duke. I just wanted to bring up, I didn't know if you did any talkings to youth. I know right now I brought up and mentioned about basketball brackets and things like that and the wild push that's going across the board with media and everything and just about every website or Facebook page out there. But I know for a fact there are high school students that are involved in this. But it is also known that college students bet on college basketball and other things big time and get trapped in these motions. But it leads into adulthood, where as an adult it ruins families and everything else because it started somewhere. But is mm-hmm. there any time you ever come to speak or work with youth and try to nip it in the bud where it starts out?
Yeah.
And I'd mm-hmm. like you to know it is a problem. Mm-hmm. I work with youth within our area here in Holland and do outreach, but I find, as I am a parent of a high school student, they do talk about this all the time, about going to websites and gambling on these free sites and that. Mm-hmm. But right now with these college basketball bracket stuff, it involves more than their homework. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Got to take time out. For
promise your family, hometown, heartfelt service that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. It's a promise we've kept for over 100 years.
We're talking about gambling, and you have a question. 395-1450 is the number. Well, can we stop it? Can we discourage people from getting into this mess?
Yes, I think prevention, education, and talking to people, going to a support group if you feel you have a family member that maybe is in denial. Getting help, talking to somebody like myself who can give you the resources that you need. It's something that you got to bring out. You just can't let it go, because in 1 week, somebody's whole fortune could be lost.
Right.
That's why it's so serious. It
and
could
their
ruin
whole Social Security check too.
It could do, and that's what's happening. We want to encourage people that there's the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline. It's 800-270-7117. And there's also a website at the state called it's www.gambleresponsibly.org. And that is a good website where people can go and get more information. They can call Holland Hospital Behavioral Health Services, 355-3926, and schedule an appointment to see myself or to have a assessment done. But I would really encourage people to call the gambling helpline. If you or a person in your family or a good friend has a problem, get help there. The state does pay for problem gamblers to get free treatment.
Good.
To come see a provider like myself.
Got a call. Yes, you're on the line with our guests.
Yes, I'm curious as to whether the funding for these various rehab places and programs and so on comes from our taxpayer dollars, or shouldn't it come from gambling places mm-hmm. themselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. The state has the about 2% of the proceeds from the slot machines, and slot machines are the biggest grossing things on a casino floor.
Mm-hmm.
About 2% of the proceeds from the slots have to go to prevention and treatment programs.
2%.
And so that money is used, and it's capped, you know, there's only so much to work with, but it provides a lot of prevention. You know, the ads that you see on the TV, have you seen the problem gambling ads?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are paid for from those dollars. But so tax dollars aren't used. It comes from the compacts that the state has made with the casinos.
And we're out of time. Thank mm-hmm. you, sir.
Excellent.
Thank you very much for
You're
being
welcome.
Our guest
Thank
this
you.
Morning here on...